is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
This is Jeff Gaffney, and welcome to Everyday Faith, a show dedicated to the conversation about how can we have faith or increase our faith every day and not just on Sundays. How can we live out our faith while running businesses or working full-time or going to school or parenting full-time, whatever you're doing or whatever season of your life that you find yourself in? If you find yourself curious about faith or searching for faith, or maybe your faith is running a little low and you're in need of a faith boost, the next 30 minutes is just for you. Well, what does the Bible say about faith? Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Put another way, faith is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Well, why is faith important? Also from the Bible, Hebrews chapter 11 again, verse 6 says, "And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." And two more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight or appearance." Or put another way, we live by believing and not by seeing. And finally, for any of our listeners who are going through a tough time right now, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Your trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold." So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Let me mention, we do have an email address. It's everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. We also have a prayer team set up to pray for you if you are in need of prayer, and we'd love to hear your comments or your praise reports. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break and be back in just a minute. The title of today's show is From Wall Street to the Mission Field in Africa. This is Everyday Faith. We'll be back in just a second. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Fluvanna County is hosting an Earth Day event on April 26th from 10 a.m. until 2 in the afternoon in Pleasant Grove Park in Palmyra. The 65th Annual Dogwood Festival is going on now at McIntyre Park, and the Grand Feature Parade will be on April 26th. The DEA's National Drug Take Back Initiative is being held again this year at the Gordonsville Pharmacy in Gordonsville. You are asked to bring your unused, unwanted, and outdated prescriptions for disposal on April 26th from 10 until 2. And the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Jail will be hosting its fifth annual golf tournament on Thursday, May 22nd at the Lake Monticello Golf Course. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our concerts events calendar at wchv.com.
Did you know that 2/3 of Americans have library cards? So what's stopping you? Drop by your local library today and get a library card. It'll be the smartest card in your wallet. A message from the American Library Association's Campaign for America's Libraries.
For more information, visit the Jefferson Madison Regional Library on East Market Street in Charlottesville, or go to jmrl.org, jmrl.org, or call 979-7151, 979-7151.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host, Jeff Gaffney, here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. And with us on the program today, we have my good friend Peter Sorensen. And this is really a great testimony, a great story of his life. A super successful businessman finds himself on Wall Street and then ends up hearing the call, and he ends up over on the mission fields in Africa. Peter, thank you for being on the show today.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Could you tell us, just for our listeners, could you tell us a little bit about your faith journey and then kind of get to the part about Wall Street to Africa? Because I love that part of the story. But back us up and tell us about your faith journey, if you would.
Well, Jeff, you know, I was raised in a household of faith. So I know a lot of people have had that experience where you're taken to church as a child. And, you know, we had vacation Bible school in the summer and Bible studies and prayer meetings and all of that. But I have to say, it really wasn't until I was in college and just out of college that I took my faith seriously. And not that I didn't have a faith before that, but, you know, I had a childlike faith. It only was a child's faith. And I remember I went to a Bible study. This was at Drew University in Madison, New Jersey. It was a once-a-week study where there was a group of businessmen. There were maybe 60 or 70 of us that gathered weekly. And I was sitting there one Friday morning at this study, and I watched a man come in. This man's name was Lyle. Lyle had the job of building power plants around the world. And so he worked for a large construction company. And Lyle came in, and literally everything on Lyle pointed south that day. I mean, his shoulders were hunched over, his demeanor was down, his face was down. Everything on Lyle, he looked like Eeyore is really the best description of Lyle. And I was just a spectator, and I watched a man sit next to Lyle, open up a Bible, and describe to Lyle what God would want of him. And the fact that Jesus has provided a way not only for Lyle to go to heaven and accept this gift of salvation, but to invade his life today and to change his life today. And I have to tell you that this man probably spent 10 minutes with Lyle. And I sat and I watched this thing. Now, I had grown up in churches where people would stand up and say, well, God changed my life. I was a terrible person, and I'm this new creation now. And I always thought as a kid, well, I guess, but I never knew you when you were this other person. So I'm kind of taking your word for it. But I watched this man take Lyle through the scripture, and then he prayed with Lyle. And Lyle prayed along and made a prayer of commitment to Christ that day. And Jeff, I'm telling you that Lyle changed immediately. Mm. I mean, his demeanor, everything changed about him right in front of me. And then I watched Lyle over probably just the next month, and Lyle was drastically different. He when he came to this study, his daughter had tried to commit suicide the week before. His marriage was in trouble. I think he had some job challenges. And this man was drastically changed. And I sat back from that, and I said, oh, my goodness. This faith that my family sort of embraced culturally is dead on true. This stuff is real. And it was almost like playing with dynamite. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This stuff is real, and that's really the best words I can use to describe my feeling at that time.
That's an amazing story, because many of us, and I'm sure some of our listeners can relate, I think I've been Eeyore before. I think I was that guy at one point in my life. And then when when God gets a hold of you, and you get to that point of transformation in your life, and then you get yourself to a verse that we talked about a couple of weeks ago on this show, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It sounds like this man was strengthened. And then sometimes we think of it, I can do all things through Christ who enables me, or I can handle all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so it's just, I love that story because you saw it firsthand, a witness.
It was the first time. Yeah, it was the first time. And so I was confronted with a God who's not only real in terms of being there for us when we pass and providing this place for us to go to for eternity, but he's there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every day of the week, and through our challenges, through our celebrations. And to walk through life with us.
And not just on Sundays.
And not just on Sundays. And mostly not just on Sundays.
Right.
And so my view of God and faith changed dramatically from that point forward. And I started working on Wall Street, as you mentioned. And I would pray. I mean, I would literally, as I would walk, I would take the train to Hoboken, New Jersey, from where I lived, and take the subway under the Hudson River to the World Trade Center, and then walk to the office from there. And, I mean, I would pray for people as I was walking down the street. If I saw a mother, you know, holding a child's hand, I'd pray and say, Lord, you know, give her confidence to be a good parent, bless that child. I mean, just kind of praying for people randomly. And then I just start asking God in my heart, you know, how should my life in the office change as a result of this realization that you're real and that you're there to walk through life with us. And so my life in the office changed, I think, from that point forward.
Can you talk about what happened when you're on Wall Street, you're living that busy life, you have this faith that's now on fire, but then all of a sudden you get the call that it's time to change, that it's time to leave that life. Tell us about that point in your life.
Well, in terms of going to Africa, it's an exciting story, and one that, very honestly, my mom went to work in Africa with the Southern Baptists as a missionary in Togo in West Africa. Most people don't know where that is on the map, but it is there. And so I didn't want to go to Togo. I didn't want to visit her. I didn't want to get shots. I didn't want to get on a plane and be jet lagged and, you know, breathe the dust and all. I really wasn't interested in that. So I would call her. And I thought, well, you know, if I call her enough, maybe this makes up for me not going there. And so I called her pretty regularly. And then one time I called my mom. She was in Kara, Togo, which is upcountry from the capital. And she said, well, tomorrow I'm going in a prison. A local prison. And I thought, wow. So, you know, I've seen these documentaries on television about prisons, and I thought, I wonder what a prison in Africa looks like. I mean, it can't look like anything here. And so I called her back the very next day, and I said, Mother, I said, tell me about your time in the prison. And so she described what she saw there. And I'll tell you, Jeff, when I hung up the phone from that conversation, I had this picture in my mind of the prodigal son. As he was feeding the pigs in the pigsty, you know, kind of wearing rags, because that's what she described for me. Literally inmates sleeping on a concrete floor, mm-hmm. No pillow, no mattress, you know, barely enough food to keep them alive, that kind of scene. And so I called her right back, and she was a little surprised to hear back so quickly mm-hmm. from me. And I said, Mother, I said, listen, I've just had this picture in my mind of the prodigal son. Would you be willing to go back to the prison and talk to the warden and see if we could do a banquet in the prison? Because I thought, you know, either this picture has come to my mind from God or not. But here, let me test it. And so she did. She went and talked to the warden of that prison. And he said, hey, do whatever you want. Help yourself. Here are the keys. You know, no restrictions, no approvals, no nothing. And so then I took a deep breath and said, oh, my goodness, now what do we do? So I looked at the passage in Scripture on the prodigal son, and of course there's a banquet involved in that, and so we made preparations, and it was a pretty dramatic experience to actually go over to Togo and to do this thing. So it was exciting. Literally, my mother gave money to, I sent her some funds. She gave money to the women in her local church. They went to the marketplace and bought a cow, and led this thing home on a rope. Mm. And prepared it for this banquet that we hosted. So it was pretty exciting.
And then later you decided to move your entire family. You left the Wall Street lifestyle, and then you ended up living in Africa.
Well, my wife and my family and I were at a conference in upstate New York at a place that we go to annually. And at that conference, my wife and I both, I sensed to her, listen, we've been doing this work in Africa for a few years. Hey, I get a sense that we need to go live on the continent of Africa. And so I mentioned it to her, and she said, well, you know what, I've been feeling the same thing.
Wow.
And so it was pretty exciting. And so we had some people pray that were up there with us, and the next morning we got up to hear the speaker, who we'd never heard before. And the speaker got up to the microphone to give a really a talk, and he said, let me tell you about Africa. were the first words he used. And then he talked about the parable of the father and the two sons. And the father tells his sons to go work in the vineyard. And so this gentleman, as he's speaking, is pointing at us saying, you must go, you must go. That's what the father's telling you. You have to go. And so literally my wife and I started crying in the middle of this service. And we left that service, packed up our things, went home, and on our way home bought a for sale sign and put it in front of our house. And about 3 months later, we arrived in Cape Town, South Africa.
I love that. I love your ability to just make that decision and go. And obviously, you heard the call. We're going to take a break in just a second. But, Peter, before we go and take a break, we're talking with Peter Sorensen, and this is Everyday Faith Radio. Peter, what would you say to any of our listeners who are thinking about faith, curious about faith, but maybe they just haven't been able to get their arms around it? What message would you have for them?
But you have to look at the claims of Christ. And so at the end of the day, you know, as C.S. Lewis has said, you know, God is either a fraud, and so he knew he was a fraud, which means he was a con artist, and his disciples all died for a fraud, which isn't likely. The second option is he was a fraud and he didn't know he was a fraud, which means he was insane, and his disciples still died for a man who was insane, which isn't likely. Or he's God. And those are only the three options that we have. He wasn't just a good person, as Lewis said. He hasn't given us that option. So confronted with that logic, I mean, then you need to dig down a little deeper and say, hold on, if this stuff is true, then I want a part of it. And I don't want to miss the opportunity to find out what God has to say about me and about eternity.
That's very well put. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a break and be back in just a second. Please stay with us.
How's your lunch?
Good, Dad, but not as good as the sandwiches you used to make.
Really?
Sure. Remember how you'd melt the cheese first and dry the pickles on a paper towel so they didn't make the bread soggy? Oh, and then you'd cut it into four pieces with no crust?
I did all that.
Geez, Dad, how would anyone forget something like that?
You never know which moments will be the ones they'll remember forever. So take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Joining us in the studio now is our friend Dargan Cogshill from the Learning RX. You brought a mom with you.
Every now and then we need to ground ourselves in a real story. I asked Shelby to come in today and share.
He would read and you would go back and ask questions about what he was reading. And it just wasn't there, you know. And obviously going through school, that was very difficult. And through elementary school, you know, the teachers kept saying, it'll click.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. It was really, really tough. And then I found Learning RX through listening to you.
He had some very foundational cognitive skills that we had to address first.
Talk about what results you saw.
He started just correlating things. Then he started getting into academic competitions with his siblings. And then, you know, we started ninth grade, and he was an A honor roll student.
Call or log on to learningrx.com/Charlottesville. Take the first step and get your child assessed today.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Fluvanna County is hosting an Earth Day event on April 26th from 10 a.m. until 2 in the afternoon in Pleasant Grove Park in Palmyra. The 65th Annual Dogwood Festival is going on now at McIntyre Park, and the Grand Feature Parade will be on April 26th. The DEA's National Drug Take Back Initiative is being held again this year at the Gordonsville Pharmacy in Gordonsville. You are asked to bring your unused, unwanted, and outdated prescriptions for disposal on April 26th from 10 until 2. And the Charlottesville Albemarle Regional Jail will be hosting its fifth annual golf tournament on Thursday, May 22nd at the Lake Monticello Golf Course. If your charity or nonprofit organization has an event coming up, tell us about it. Email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more information about these and other events, go to our concerts events calendar at wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. Not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
This is Everyday Faith with your host Jeff Gaffney here on News Talk 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WCHB.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, and we're talking with Peter Sorensen, a good friend, and it's a tremendous story, a tremendous life, where we have a man who was very, very successful on Wall Street and ends up leaving the Wall Street lifestyle and heads to Africa and is doing missionary work in Africa, and thank goodness he's come back after several years. Peter, that is just such a strong testimony, and I'm so glad that you moved back and into Central Virginia. So welcome back. How long have you been back now?
We've been in Charlottesville for 7 years now.
That's great. Tell us now, do you have kind of a favorite Bible verse or a Bible verse that has really kind of been precious to you in your life?
Well, there's a verse that even as a child, I looked at this verse and it stuck with me. And that was, it's literally the last words that Jesus says to any human before he dies. And he turns to one of the thieves on the cross next to him. Now, one has kind of made fun of him and joined the crowd that are kind of rebuking Christ up on the cross. And the other one rebukes the other thief and he says to him, "Don't you fear God?" But Jesus turns to that one and says, "I tell you the truth." And I think in the King James it says, "Verily, verily." In other words, I really mean this. "Today you will be with me in paradise." And there's something about that says, you go direct to paradise, no stopping here, no bills to pay. And I remember a study was in one time where the debate was on the fruit of somebody's life and, what kind of fruit does a tree bear and all that. And I remember one guy in the very back of the room said, "What about the thief on the cross? Didn't get many good works out of that guy."
Mm-hmm.
And here Jesus tells this guy, "I promise you that today you'll be with me in paradise." And then right after that, Jesus says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." So I kind of like that very direct black and white. You and I are going to be there today.
And then I'm also moved, and of course we're coming out of Easter, and so we spend a lot of time meditating on the cross and all that was accomplished at Calvary. But also, I think it was the first words that Jesus said is, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's also touched me in that scene, that as harsh as that form of punishment and as harsh as that form of death is, and as the Roman soldiers are nailing the nail through his hands and heels, he's not fighting it. He laid down his life, and he immediately asks the Father to forgive them. And that forgiveness, I believe, that truth, that extends not just to those Roman soldiers and not just to those that were the audience there. That forgiveness extends to you and me and anybody who will, as the thief on the cross did, will turn to Christ and acknowledge him and accept him. That forgiveness is there. And we tie that back to one of your first points in your story. What a transformation once you understand that forgiveness on the cross.
Well, Jeff, as you're able to minister and to see people like my friend Lyle come to faith, to see that life transformed. I know there are a lot of miracles in the Bible and people who are healed of physical illness, etc. But to me, I still think the transformed life is a bigger miracle because you're changing somebody from the inside out. As my friend Ravi Zacharias would say, You change not what a man does, but you change what he wants to do. And that's amazing. It really is amazing.
Tell us this story, if you would. You and I and some friends had the opportunity to visit, of all places, a state penitentiary down in Louisiana called Angola Prison. Can you tell us your takeaways from that trip and what's going on? That was such a very, very powerful trip. Tell us from your perspective.
Well, Jeff, it was about, for our listeners, it was about a year and a half ago, September of 2012, that there were 10 of us here in Charlottesville that got on a plane and flew to Atlanta. We picked up this gentleman, Ravi Zacharias, and all of us flew down to Baton Rouge. And from there, got in a van and drove up to Angola Prison. Angola Prison is the largest prison in America. It has about 6,300 inmates. The property of Angola is larger than Manhattan Island. So it's a massive piece of property. And historically, it just a very dark history of that property. It was a breeding farm for slaves at one point. So just a terrible history. And in fact, before the current warden took over, it was the most dangerous prison in America. They would give you a knife when you came to the prison. So if you were an inmate, they would say, here's a knife, defend yourself, good luck. And, I spoke with the administrators there, and a certain number of people would die, like, every week. I think they had 3 deaths or something a week, due to fights and things in that prison. And a fellow named Burl Cain took over the prison as the warden. And this was a man who had a very deep faith and continues to have a deep faith. And he said, I didn't put these men in here, but they've been entrusted to me. And, I'm going to treat them humanely. I'm going to treat them the way Jesus would treat them. I still have a responsibility to make sure that they're incarcerated and they don't escape, et cetera. But I'm going to treat them like human beings. And the whole place has been transformed. So we went down with this group. We arrived at the prison. And Burl Cain would probably tell you that the biggest change in the prison came about when he put in a Bible college. And so it's an amazing story where I was in Angola one time before that, had lunch with some inmates, and the inmates described themselves as missionaries. And I said, really? I said, they didn't talk about their crimes or anything. So, well, I'm a missionary. And so what happens is these men graduate from the Bible school, and then they are transferred to other prisons in the state of Louisiana, and they minister to the inmates there. So it's an amazing thing. And so our group went, and we spoke first to Ravi Zacharias, and our group attended a class in the Bible school that's on the grounds of the prison. Then we went and had lunch with the senior staff. There's about 1,800 staff at that prison, if you can imagine that. And so we had lunch with the senior staff. Ravi Zacharias spoke to them, and it was a little bit of a paradigm shift for them because they're used to people coming in and speaking to the inmates, not to them as the staff. And then I remember one of the gentlemen on the trip was the chaplain for the basketball team, and he prayed over the staff that were in the room, and I can still remember hearing the tears of those, or hearing the crying around the room as he prayed for them. Then we went as a group to visit the death row inmates, and I guess there were maybe 70 or 80 death row inmates there. So the minimum sentence for an inmate at Angola is something like 40 years. Mm-hmm. If your sentence is less than 40 years, they transfer you out. And so the death row inmates are all, multiple murders and things like that. So we went and spoke with them, and then after that visited literally the death chamber where they would execute an inmate and have their last meal. And then we went and had a conference for the whole prison where Dr. Zacharias spoke to the whole prison through their television system. And that was pretty exciting.
Let me share a verse that Warden Cain shared with all of us down on that trip. And this is our victory verse for this week. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. So it comes from the Old Testament. And this is what Warden Cain shared with us. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Folks, I ask you to get that verse, write it down on an index card, spend some time with it. It's a very powerful verse. Peter Sorensen, thank you so much for being on the show today. We're going to have you come back, talk a little bit more about that Angola trip. This is Everyday Faith. Please remember us at everydayfaithradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next Sunday.